All right. Well, we are at the end of the 10 o'clock hour here, so we need to close out. And you two are going to get a break for about 10 minutes here because I've got to run Martha's four-step flea plan. The weather is warming up. Spring seems to have finally arrived this weekend in the Great Northwest, and fleas are hatching. So we're going to run Martha's four-step flea plan. Dee and Willa, you can take a break for about 10 minutes, and then we will continue with the Dee and Willa Show. And I want to talk about where they are, because I think they're like a gazillion miles. It sounds to me like they're out in the middle of nowhere, and they're not close to anything.
Is it Flagstaff? Or
Northern Desert, Arizona, they said. I don't know where Flagstaff is. But anyway, we'll find out more about their environment and so forth, and then more stories. And I still haven't found out how this lion ended up at the convent or the Catholic school and all of that. We'll figure out all of that. So stay with us. Animal World continues. We're here until 11:45 today, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
The preceding hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World was brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
This is Alternative Talk, 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KLCK, FM 98.9, Digital HD3 Seattle.
Hi, this is Martha with another Animal World tip. With the warmer weather coming, something I'm sure we'd all rather not think about, fleas. But if you want to keep fleas off your animal friends and out of your house, and if you'd prefer to do that holistically with all natural stuff rather than with toxic chemicals, now is the time to get prepared and start paying attention. The good news is, it's not difficult or majorly time-consuming to keep your animals and living environment flea-free, naturally. But you do need to know what you're doing, and there are four steps involved for complete success. Step one is preventative and involves making your dog or cat friend unattractive to fleas. Fleas are not attracted to healthy animals. They like animals that are unhealthy and physically out of balance, and one of the most important factors keeping your animals healthy is what you feed them. I recommend you start by feeding the highest quality, all-natural diet you can. This can consist of processed, dry and or canned, dehydrated, home-cooked, raw, or a combination of several of these types of food. Whatever you choose to feed, I suggest you add the Missing Link supplement to provide what's missing in the foods themselves, especially the omega-3 and 6 oils, essential for healthy skin. For critical flea months, say May through October or November, you can add a supplement to your dog or cat's food to help repel fleas. Bodyguard, a yeast and sulfur formula, and Vetline, yeast and garlic, are two products that I have found to be successful. Some animals may require additional supplementation to be healthy, like antioxidants, probiotics, or digestive enzymes. A good holistic veterinarian can help you get this right. The better you feed your animal friends, the healthier and less attractive to fleas they're going to be. Step two is to get rid of fleas on your animals and then keep them off. At this time of year, unless your situation is an unusual exception, you have no fleas on your animals yet. So right now, this step is all about paying attention and prevention, so the fleas don't get a jump on you and get established in your home and yard. If you allow your animals to leave your environment or take them off your property, especially if it's to a potential flea area like a dog park, it's a good idea to spritz them with a natural herbal flea repellent spray. My favorites are products made with erigeron, also known as fleabane or neem. You can get these products from holistic vets or naturally inclined pet stores. I spritz Annie Golden Retriever before we go to a questionable area, and sometimes again before we come home. During flea season, which begins any time now, it's a good idea to do your regular flea checks on all your animals. Running a flea comb through your dog or cat's fur is one way to check. Comb down the middle of their back, be sure to comb around the base of their tail, and also around their neck and chin. Another way is to roll them over and check their bellies, watching for fleas. For dogs with heavy coats, too thick for a flea comb, have them stand up, facing the same direction you are. Stand over them, and starting at the base of the tail, run your thumbs backwards through the fur, up the back to the neck, looking for running fleas or flea dirt. Flea dirt is tiny black specks made of dried blood. If you suspect you found some flea dirt, crush it on a wet paper towel. If it turns red, it's flea dirt. Time for a thorough flea combing. Remember to have a bowl of soapy water ready to dump any fleas you find into. Repeat this once, or preferably twice a day, until the fleas are gone. You might prefer to bathe your animal friend to kill fleas instead of combing. No need to use flea shampoo with insecticide. Any mild shampoo will kill fleas if you leave the lather on the animal for 2 to 3 minutes. Be sure to supervise and do not allow your animal friend to lick any of the shampoo. Step 3 is to get rid of fleas in your house and keep them out. If by chance you're an exception and have fleas in your house now or in the future, my first choice to get rid of them is Fleago, a safe powder you sprinkle on floors and fabric that dehydrates the fleas. It's available at any good pet store. If you do not have any fleas in your house now, just follow the rest of my 4-step flea program and you won't get any. Step 4 is to get rid of fleas in your yard, and this is probably the most important step of all. Keeping your outdoor environment free of fleas is truly the key to keeping fleas out of your house and off your animals. Now, you only need to do this step if you had fleas on your animal friends last year. If you did, then it's critically important to spray your yard with beneficial predatory nematodes. That's beneficial predatory nematodes. They are microscopic living creatures that eat the larvae of fleas. They also do crane flies. They come in suspended animation, so to speak, and come alive when you mix them with water and spray the grassy and dirt areas around your house and yard. Because these nematodes are alive, you must wait to spray until the outdoor temperature is consistently above 50 to 55 degrees. Spray just before a rainfall or in the morning or evening and water them in well. They last about 6 to 8 weeks, and if you've had a serious flea infestation recently, you may need to spray twice the first year. The good news here is that once you get those fleas out of your outdoor environment and you practice step 1 and 2, you won't have to spray the nematodes every year. By the way, you can buy the nematodes at garden supply stores, some pet stores, and feed and grain stores. I know you may be thinking how much easier it is to use what I call the chemical quick fixes, like the liquid spot-on products, pills, or injections. And you absolutely can do that. It's your choice. But it is my opinion that these products can be dangerous to both our animal friends and our environment. And I think if you knew what I know, you wouldn't use them. Okay, so there you have it, Martha's 4-step flea prevention program. And if you need more detailed help or clarification, call me, because Animal World will be right back.
Does your dog experience bad breath or gas? Does your cat spit up hairballs? Try Optigest. Optigest is a natural formula of digestive enzymes and the prebiotic FOS. Even pets with a healthy diet can experience digestive upset due to diet change, separation, or the normal aging process. Optigest works fast and has no inactive ingredients. Optigest supports intestinal balance and a healthy immune system to promote more comfortable, active, and vibrant dogs and cats. Ask for Optigest at your natural pet store today.
When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts robbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red, live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue, now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
The following hour of Martha Norwalk's Animal World is brought to you by Jones & Company Pets. Their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy, healthy pets.
Hey, Hey, good morning, y'all. Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the third hour of our May Day edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio, which means you can share us with family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. Go to the Animal World website, www.marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen Live again, and that will bring up the instructions that you need to stream the show. And I was just reminded as I was doing the introduction here, it is the first Sunday of it's May, and it's May 1st. It's May Day today. And I just thought you guys would like to know what a nice little kid I was. Because I remember growing up, I grew up in the city in Laurelhurst, and let's see, I did this up on 52nd Street, so it was our second house in that neighborhood. So it was probably between third grade and sixth grade that I did this. But I can remember on May Days, well, my mom taught me the tradition that you give flowers on May Day to people. And so I would spend the morning picking bluebells and daffodils, the things that are blooming this time of year, and we had lots of them in the yard. I would pick them, and then I'd make paper baskets and fill them with little wildflowers and take them around and put them on the doors of all of the neighbors' houses.
Cool.
Wasn't that cool? I was a nice little kid. I did May Day flower baskets for all the neighbors. So happy May Day, everybody. I don't do flowers anymore. But
I was going to say, where's mine and Gary's?
I don't have any flowers to bring. Sorry. Scotty wanted to know where his and Gary's flowers were. All right. We are going back to the high desert in Arizona. I keep thinking, ever since I knew there, I figured out high desert, I think Art Bell. And I wonder why I'm thinking Art Bell. Because I'm wondering if there's doo-doo-doo-doo stuff going down in this 7,000 feet up in the high desert.
And I have no idea where Art Bell lives. He might live on Mars for all I know. But I wanted to. There's one thing I did want to say, though. I just love that Robin song.
Oh.
It is just so happy. I always want to sing along with it. And, of course, I always think of Robin Alexis. But I just love that song.
Well, it's the original courting of Red Robin. And the reason we play it for anybody that hasn't heard this story, if you haven't figured it out, I'm not a morning person, folks. I'm a night person. And at any rate, for the majority of the years I've done this radio show, I did it in the afternoon. But when I moved to this station, the best time slot was this one, 9 to noon on Sunday. So, which means I'm up very, very early. Well, anyway, so I decided I wanted the Red Robin to start the show with because it is, as a child, my brother's 3 years younger than I am, and that was my first record, 45 record, you know, the little round ones, and I can remember it was yellow. The record itself was yellow, and then I had a little red record player. You know, there were it was like a leather case, and the top closed down. You'd close it up like a suitcase, mm-hmm. and so you could carry it from room to room, and you'd plug it in. Well, my brother and I, of course, would get up at dark 30 when before we were in school, but so we'd be on the weekends, especially we'd get up really early, and then we would go downstairs, because the bedrooms were all upstairs in that house. We'd go downstairs to the dining room, which was directly below my parents' bedroom. And we'd open my little record player, we'd put on the Red Robin, and we'd play it. And then we'd turn up the volume, and we'd play it again. And then we'd turn up the volume, and we'd play it again. We played it over and over and over again every weekend morning until my parents got so sick of it they'd get up. And so, since that was the Norwalk family wake-up song, and then, of course, now Gary wasn't with me at the beginning here, but my original board op here at the station, he found the original recording of Red Robin for us to use. So that's the Red Robin story. So it really,
that is so great.
But it's really nice because Robin comes on. It sounds like the song is for her, but really it's not.
Well, yeah, I figured you were using it because of Robin Alexis. And, your website does say that you're going to be talking with Robin today. So some people are probably tuning in going, where's Robin? Who are these strange people?
Yeah, and I explained that to everybody early in the show because this all kind of happened progressively during the week, and there was so much going on that I spaced telling my webmaster to change the topic of today's show. So when we started the show, I was the only one that knew what was happening today. Scotty didn't know. Gary didn't know. But anyway, Robin is recovering from a bacterial infection in her hand from an accidental cat scratch, and she is recovering nicely, but it was touch and go for a while. And she's very sensitive, you know, and she had an allergic reaction to the antibiotic she was taking, and now they figured that out, but it's taking her a while to recoup from, you know, the massive doses of antibiotics and the reaction she had. But she's recovering nicely, and but she can't use the computer or do anything because her arm's still in a splint. So she should be out of that sometime soon, I hope. And
you know, it's not unusual for people to have severe reactions to cat scratches. And in the old days, whenever that was, they used to call it cat scratch fever.
Right, right.
But I know that Willa has a remedy that, of course, harks back to her mother and her nature days, that a lot of people would go, well, that's just old wives' tale stuff. But I know that this can be used on cat scratches like right away, or even on dog bites or other wounds to stop it immediately before things progress. And maybe Willa could explain what, because I've seen it heal amazing things. And she just cut her thumb and her finger wide open yesterday with a serrated knife.
Ooh.
And she handled it this way, and it's almost healed up today. It's amazing how quickly it repaired.
Before you go into it, I know you've got Native American skills in your background and all this natural stuff, but another thing that people don't know, that at some point in Willa's amazing life and experience, she became a trauma nurse, and she actually joined the military and I think was a trauma nurse in Vietnam. So, I mean, talk about incredible and all of the circus, horses, rodeo, movies, Vietnam. Well, anyway, so the natural healing stuff, and you're saying you have a natural remedy for cuts and stuff like that, Willa?
Yeah, actually, my uncle on the ranch would always say salt water, soak whatever injury there was, if it was an open wound, immediately in salt water as hot as one can stand it, but
hot
not to
water.
Burn the skin. I use sea salt and soak it for 10 or 15 minutes and then take it out and wrap the wound in wet tobacco.
Whoa, wet tobacco. Huh.
And leave it on overnight. Now, keep in mind, tobacco, nicotine, is a poison. And years ago, that was used to spray crops with.
Yeah.
Spray vegetable gardens to kill pests. So, you know, nicotine, like I say, is a poison, but it will kill. It's pretty effective as far as
killing bacteria. I see. Okay. Yeah.
So I prefer to use that rather than go to anything else. I'm not saying that I recommend it or don't recommend it. I'm just saying that I
That's
use
what you
it
do. Yeah.
And use it effectively.
So when you get a cut or an open wound, you soak it in hot sea salt water.
Yes.
And then wrap it in wet tobacco.
Right.
Well, now do you just
What's
keep
the purpose of the sea salt?
Well, it draws and helps wash the wound. Sometimes I'll put a little dish soap in it, liquid soap. Palm olive green is something that we've used for a lot of years. Dish soap, and I use that for the goats too, for wiping the bag and the teeth.
Well, do you just like keep? Do you just keep like tobacco leaves around or something?
Even just shredded tobacco, pipe tobacco.
Is he on? Okay.
But we buy natural tobacco. We buy organic tobacco, American Spirit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So did you want to say something, Scott?
Yeah, it was just Epsom salt.
Is that, what's the difference?
Epsom salt is different. Yeah, just table salt, iodized table salt will work.
Okay, but so could you use Epsom salts, or is it better to use...
It's better to use an iodized salt or a sea salt.
Okay.
The nursing came in because my uncles believed that the world was changing, and his attitude was, go get an education, gal, the world's changing fast. But I think what they overlooked was how important nature was and the way we lived and were raised. I think in their mind, they felt the world was moving too fast and outgrowing the family ranches and outgrowing their time in history. And they wanted security for us, for the next generation. So they encouraged all of us to get a good education, get into a field that we could work in and be secure in. And, of course, we still had to work the ranches during the season. So nursing was, and in the medical field, in the labs, that was something that we could go and do off-season and work. A lot of times you could contract with different hospitals and small-town clinics and rescue services and make good money in a short period of time and then go back to the ranch and work during the season.
Well, I'm wondering, where did the part in your life fit in when you got into competitive horse circles? Because it sounds
that
like
has
you just...
always been part of my life. One of the uncles raised quarter horses, cutting horses, and worked with some of the top, he was one of the top cutters in the country.
But then apparently you did some traveling through Europe in competition circles, is that right? Hello?
I don't know where that came from.
Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Did you hear my question?
I don't know what that is coming in. It's not on this end.
Oh, you guys are getting interference on your line?
It's not on this end. I don't know what it is.
We're hearing some rap music.
Rap music?
Yeah.
Do we even play rap music at any of our five stations here? No. That's weird.
This is very weird. You're not hearing that?
We hear it. I hear it when you speak, but then it goes away. Gary's...
It's on my phone also. It's rap music. I don't know where it's coming from.
Well, Gary's going to see if he can find an answer to that because he left us. He's in the other. He's gone.
Wow.
Okay.
Reality
well,
radio.
As far as the competitive horse business went, when one is raising anything, they want to promote it. So the cutting horses were promoted, and then another member of the family did flat track horses. And if they don't run, you lose money. So what do you do with them?
That's just ridiculous.
We tried rehabbing them and using them for dressage and hunter jumpers.
Well, okay. So, Willa, at this point, it's you and me because the line that Dee was on has dropped off, which means Scotty's left the room. Oh, and isn't that interesting, folks? It's just me. Well, somehow Willa's line went on hold, and there's nobody in this studio, so they must be doing it from the other studio. Now it's not on hold again. Willa, are you still with me?
I'm with you. This is Willa. Dee's line
right,
cut
they're working
out,
on
and
that.
I'm still getting the rap music.
Yeah, and so unfortunately, I don't know what's going out over the air because... You apparently can hear me okay, but when I don't hear anything in my headset until you speak, and then there's all this feedback, I can't hear the rap music, but it sounds like you're in a submarine, so I don't know what's going on.
Huh.
And Gary and Scotty have both left the studio.
Oh.
So I'm here all by myself, and I don't have a clue. I can see that they're trying to call you again. They're trying to call Dee again, Willa.
All right. So, well, they've made the connection with Dee, and perhaps Dee should come on, and I'll try hanging up, and we'll go from there.
I've got a clear line.
Dee has a clear line.
You have a clear line? Ah, okay. So maybe we need to have you hang up, and they'll call you back. But why don't you just stay where you are for the moment, and we'll see if they want you to do that. But isn't this interesting? Dee, do I have you on the air? No, I don't, because, let's see. Dee's back on hold now, and Will is back on hold.
Oh, no.
But who is that?
It came back in when you came on, Martha. I had a clear phone until you looked into it.
Okay. Well, now
the line.
Now Will is gone.
The line with Scotty was fine until you came and cut back in with it.
Well, I didn't have anything to do with that because I can't control anything from where I am, and they're
weird.
So
can you get a different line from there, because it's your hooking in that caused the problem?
Okay, Gary. Apparently, that line was fine until you hooked it into me. And when that happened, that's what caused Well, anyway, Gary's on the floor underneath the desks
hey,
here.
It's gone.
Oh, it's gone? Cool.
Yes, and Willa is on the other phone, and she has a clear line too. So give that a try.
All right. Okay. So what did you do under there, Gary?
Nothing. Isn't it nice to have techno-magician?
He doesn't know what he did, except that he got on the floor.
I know what I did, but I don't think I should have.
Now, how come she's back on hold again?
Oh, because I dropped the line.
Huh?
I dropped the line.
Well.
Hello.
Hello. So that's D. So I have you.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Willa's on hold?
Yes. Now Willa's on hold. And now.
Can we bring Willa back?
I'm back. Can you hear me?
Yeah. And I don't hear any feedback.
Okay.
And D, you're still
there.
Yay!
Yeah, we're good. Okay.
The gremlins are gone.
All right. Well, you see, reality radio happens all the time around here. Now. Speaking of that, I wanted to clarify a little bit about your location, and because I think, well, we've established you're 7,000 feet up in the northern desert of Arizona.
We're between Flagstaff and Four Corners.
That's what Scotty wanted to do. They're between Flagstaff and Four Corners, Scotty.
Oh,
does that help you? Okay, so now he knows where you are. I haven't got a clue. I don't know where those places are.
And the superstitions are at the other end of the state. In fact, we used to do tours of horseback adventures in the superstitions.
The superstitions are at the other end of the state. She says, all right, I gotcha. Now, but you, from what I gather, you guys are kind of out in the middle of nowhere, right? I mean,
I wouldn't call it nowhere. We're remote.
Yeah, so how far away from civilization are you?
Oh, about 85 miles.
Well, that's pretty much out in the middle of nowhere, don't you think? I mean, how far do you have to go? Do you have neighbors around you anywhere?
A few miles away.
Okay, so closest neighbors are a few miles away. What about the closest, like, store or something? I mean, can you run to the corner 7-Eleven?
We go to once a month in Flagstaff.
Oh, once a month you drive to the big city?
Yeah.
How long does it take you to get there?
Or we can go to Flag, or we can go to... drive all the way down to Winslow or Holbrook, or go back over to New Mexico, sometimes to Albuquerque. It just depends.
So once a month you make a big trip to the store, huh?
Once a month, yeah.
Wow. And I'm just fascinated that the two of you down there, older than me, and you guys are out in the middle of nowhere and totally pretty much self-sufficient out there, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Well, let me just tell you why we had to go to town and didn't make it on Friday because of the 60-mile-an-hour wind. So
yesterday
we had to go do this. Willa, she was in town, I don't know, looking for something, and came home the early part of the week and was all excited because she said, we can get a load of logs. We can go get some lodge poles. Let's go. We got to go back to town. I said, it's a long drive, and it takes a lot of gas money. What's the deal? She said, they're free. We just got to go get these logs. So yesterday we're staring at this stack that's like 30 feet long and 10 feet high of stripped pine lodge poles. And I said, you know, I've dealt with trees a lot in the past. She said, well, I really haven't been in tree country very much. And I said, well, I've dropped a lot of trees, and do you know how much those things weigh when they're 5 or 6 inches around and 8 or 10 feet long? Well, no. And so then we're trying to figure out how to get the darn things down off the pile without, pulling the wrong toothpick and having the whole pile roll.
Right.
So, I'll let Willa explain her method.
Well,
you were gonna
go get them on Friday.
Yes,
but then
you
couldn't go because apparently the winds get so high there that you can't go anywhere.
Right.
I can't imagine that. You can't even go outside? It, like, blows you over?
Oh, well.
Literally.
Yeah.
Wow.
But we do go outside. I mean, we're still taking care of animals and gardening and, you know, building. But it just seemed logical to me that, now, I'd never handled logs.
Yeah.
I've always been from tundra country.
So you didn't have anybody to help you load these logs?
No, we did it ourselves. We have to go back and get some more. It's going to take a couple of trips. But
okay, now we're talking late 60s here, folks. And how many logs? These are peeled?
No, they're not peeled.
No.
They were just dropped.
Ah.
And limbed. Most of them were limbed.
Yeah. So it seemed logical that if I could get one long pole out, like a 15-foot pole, I could use it for a pry.
Yeah.
So we managed to pull. So I got out my rope, and I roped the top log, pulled it off, and used that for a pry to be able to lift logs from the ground, lift one end, move them around, and rope them and pull them off. And then we'd load them into the truck.
Wow. So how many of those logs did you get?
Well, we only got 16 of them. How many? 16?
We got about 16,
but we'll have to go back and get more.
And then you're going to, what are you going to do with these logs?
Make corrals. We're making goat and sheep pens.
Wow. I'm amazed. And here you two women were written off by traditional medicine.
Yep.
More than 10 years ago, told you'd be dead in a year.
Yes.
And here you are, hauling these big old logs That's around.
Incredible.
Wow. Hey, this is what keeps you healthy.
think about this. If someone has a cut, the cut heals. If a bone is broken, the bone heals. That means we have the cellular ability to heal.
Yeah.
So what is preventing us from healing any other part of our body?
Well, yeah. Okay.
So here's the theory.
Yeah.
Visually, we see in certain light frequencies. So we are vibrational beings.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. the brain, the eyes, transmit light. So that it reflects back, and it's the vibration of the light that signals our brain as to what we see.
Okay.
But we can only see what we know exists. So if we know, if the brain knows that it can heal, and we understand that we can heal ourselves, now, I'm not saying that we have learned the ability to completely heal ourselves, but what we practice is a way of living that does not include building toxins in our body, because we are what we take in, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And all living things are related.
Yep.
We all have the same, if you get down to cellular structure, and get down beyond cellular structure, you see that we're actually made up of the same things. What the dirt is made of, the microbes in the dirt, are the same microbes that are in us.
Hmm.
So we have the ability to look at how to train the brain. And if we can train our brain to remember how to heal, then we can heal ourselves. I firmly believe that we have the ability to heal ourselves. But that takes lifetimes to learn.
Sure.
So what we do is we live as toxic-free as possible to allow ourselves to rebuild in healthier ways. And we live by the function of we are what we take in, physically, spiritually, and emotionally, and that all things are connected.
Yeah, and you, unfortunately, because we're out early today, you know, we're getting on the downside of the time that we have. And of course, we didn't get to anywhere as close to all the great stories you have to tell. And I'm fascinated. And I was starting, I, I'm just very curious to know what it was like to be a young woman competing in horse competitions in Middle Eastern countries so very long ago. That's got to be a story. There's so much to talk about with you two. I think we're going to have you come back from time to time, you know, just to share stories and to catch up. But I also want to at least talk a little bit about today. You guys have some really big plans for what you want to create down there and where what you're moving towards down there in terms of that you've been able to become self-sufficient and live off the land, but I think you want to share these tools with others, don't you?
Well, there's a difference between living off the land and living with the land and living in the land.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so we live on the land.
Mm-hmm.
We live on the land in a holistic manner, meaning that we share the same resources with the land, and that allows us to live comfortably. It allows us to live with as minimal a footprint, carbon footprint, as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the key. And the economy, you know, the economy today is very stressful for people. The world in general is very stressful. But our economy is on a decline. And we each can make a decision in our daily lives how to best have a better way of life and leave a minimal footprint and how to contribute to one another. So our decision was to attempt to develop a learning center that can teach people everything from backyard gardening to how to have compost worms in their kitchen.
And apparently you're very good at raising worms.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Willa talks to worms.
Yeah, we have a lot of red wigglers or Echinacea foetida, which is a composting worm. And
in your kitchen?
No. No, but it is possible to have worms in your kitchen.
Okay.
To have a little box of worms where your kitchen scraps go, and it does not have an odor.
Oh.
So if it's done properly, it doesn't have an odor. But our intent is to eventually have a facility where we can help people learn how to grow some food of their own, clean food, and how some basic living skills.
And you have a pretty good setup where you are because you have a large number of animals, but like you said, they all have their purpose.
Exactly.
And you do grow some animals for food, don't you?
Yes, we do. Goats and sheep.
And so the goats and sheep, well, now are you guys spinners and knitters and that sort of thing? Do you use the wool?
Well, we just don't have time for that.
Oh, okay.
We have the ability, but we don't have time. We look towards primarily growing food, building gardens, making soil. We make cheese from our goat and sheep milk. And
I think you have chickens, too, for
eggs.
We
have chickens, yeah, for eggs and for meat. And so we're pretty well-rounded in that area. We have horses to pull wagons and pull logs, and we have dogs that pull a sled in the winter so we can get around.
And I think you have working dogs that protect your other animals.
Yes, we have livestock guardians, and we have cattle dogs.
Now, and do you need those? I mean, are there predators in the high desert? What kind of predators are you looking at?
This gets into quite a controversial subject, which I won't go into, but we do have wolves. That are being released in New Mexico and Arizona. It's a program that the government initiated to reintroduce wolves that they're raising in captivity. So we have wolves, a lot of coyotes. Every now and then there's a mountain lion.
Okay, so all right.
And there are feral dogs. That's always a consideration, packs of feral dogs.
And so you really need working dogs then to help you with the animals, but also to protect.
Yes, and it helps us move livestock around too. We have the ability to graze our animals out further where we have protection for them with the livestock guardians.
And then the herding dogs can move the livestock.
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing. I am very impressed at the lives you two are living, and I'm so glad that we've made the connection, because I just had to chuckle whenever I read stuff about you guys, and the fact that our, at least Dee's and my background is so similar in terms of growing up and the things that we got into relating to training and working with animals. But Willie, you've also done so much training, but with exotic breeds and all of that sort of thing. But also, boy, you've done service dog training. And
well, I was born into it, and then I also married into it.
Okay. And then at some point, you guys did a radio talk show about animals.
We did. We did a call-in. We had a call-in program, and people would call in and ask us some of the craziest questions.
Yeah, yeah. And now, are you going to go back to doing radio, or are guys done with that?
No.
You're only going to, so you can be exclusive on Animal World?
We can be exclusive on Animal World.
Cool.
Truthfully, we don't have time for it. We did, when we were doing radio, we wrote it, we took care of our advertisers, we managed it, we produced it, we engineered it, and it literally took over our lives.
All right. Gary just reminded me that I've been so fascinated talking to you guys, I've totally forgot that we have advertisers and sponsors to take care of.
Absolutely.
So we'll put you on hold in case we have any time left. But if we don't, thank you so much, Dee and Willa. And this is just the beginning. I can't wait to have you on again. And whenever we need a light break from the routine, we'll go back and explore Willa's travels throughout her lifetime. So stay with us. We'll see if we have more time. Otherwise, right now, we're going to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. Hey, since 1978, Puget Sound area animal owners have been able to depend on Jones & Company Pets for all of their animal care needs. At Jones & Company, their spacious store allows room for everything you need for your animal companions. You can find foods, accessories, fish supplies, supplements, cleaning products, and a whole lot more. The store within a store concept makes it easy to find the right products for your dog, cat, fish, bird, or exotic animal friend, and Jones & Company rigorously trains their staff so they can easily answer all of your questions. You'll find Jones & Company on State Avenue in Marysville. Give them a call at 360-658-7817. At Jones & Company Pets, their goal is happy, satisfied customers enjoying happy and healthy pets.
Call karma specialist and metaphysical mother Robin Alexis for your free on-air readings Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Psychic medium Robin Alexis helps countless people to live fuller and more conscious lives on Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis. Call Wednesdays for your free on-air readings and hear rebroadcasts of Mystic Radio with Robin Alexis Thursdays at 8 p.m. And check out Robin's Soul Spa at robinalexis.com.
Massage is good for everyone, including your pets.
Learn animal massage close to home at the Northwest School of Animal Massage, celebrating their 10th anniversary. The Northwest School of Animal Massage offers a full schedule of classes, including massage for canines, small and large animal certification, and equine ligament therapy.
For more information, go to nwsam.com or call 877-836-3703. Locally, call 425-222-3703. That's 425-222-3703.
Join their Facebook page for exciting announcements and great anniversary deals.
This new year, give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, a strong immune system, and a healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Go to NuProSupplements.com for more information. That's NuProSupplements.com.
The Spirit Weight, a tribute, a treasure, a timeless reminder of a beloved pet or person no longer with us. Spirit Waits are stunning, egg-shaped art glass memorials, hand-blown and signed by Mark Boutte in his Camino Island glass studio. Spirit Waits are beautifully crafted with hollow centers to hold a small amount of cremation ashes, sealed forever in a timeless glass memorial. Go to spiritwait.com to read about spirit, the inspiration, see design options, and get a Spirit Wait order form. The Spirit Wait, a unique, distinctive, and beautiful blown glass memorial.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey, y'all, Martha Norwalk, and boy, we are out of time, so I got to let you know that next week it's our first memorial special. Kim Miller Medium will be in the studio with me, and we'll be talking about end-of-life issues with our animal friends. Before we leave, I want to say, Dee and Willa, thank you so much for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World, and Scotty has made it official. You two are fascinating, and we want you back, so... The next time we need a break from the mundane here.
Okay.
So thank you so much, and I hope you good luck with those polls,
well,
those logs.
Well, thank you.
And again, just thank you for taking the time, and we'll have you back again soon.
You're very welcome.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
I didn't get to ask him if there's UFOs in the high district. We'll have to find that out later. Anyway, let's see. What Husky baseball or whatever is up next. As always, animals have feelings, too, so treat your animal friends better than family. And please always be kind to open your heart, share your love with all living things, and we'll be talking to you again next week.